Exodus 17, I'm going to read verses 8 to 13. I guess we're just going to see a portion of the points that have to do with this passage, something that actually what I was going to teach was something different, and then last night thinking about, you know, everything going on and praying, this just came to mind, and so the reason for the change. Exodus 17, 8 to 13, I'm going to read it. It says, "Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim, and Moses said unto Joshua, Choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, this morning I ask you to help me, Lord. Give me the right words to say. Help me to be clear. Guide me, direct me, and also, Lord, each and every person here, because, Lord, we want you to take control of everything, Lord. Speak to our hearts, help us, give us what we need. Each and every person is different, but Lord, you have a plan for us, something you want us to learn, something you want us to do. We just ask that you do our will, your will, Lord, in us. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Obviously, you all know this story about Joshua going up to fight with Amalek and Moses being up on the mount and Aaron and Hur with him, and then what they realized that when Moses had his hands lifted up with the rod of God in his hand, that Israel was winning the battle, and when he was lowering his hands down, then Amalek was winning the battle, and there we see Aaron and Hur holding up his arms, and even in the passage, if we were to read further on about them putting a place for him to sit down, and here he was sitting down, his hands held up in the air. And the final end was that Israel won the battle, and Israel won against Amalek, and did what God commanded them to do, because it was a matter of punishment, because they were a very wicked people, and they attacked the people of Israel, and just caused so many different problems, and it was time for God to do judgment against them, and he was using his people to do that. And when I think of this whole situation, Moses was important, was he not?
Yes, sir.
He was God's man. God had chosen him to lead the children of Israel, and he had the rod of God in his hand, and he was the one that got the commands from God and led the people out and the directions they were supposed to go and everything they were supposed to do. He was the leader, but was Moses really the most important person there? Well, if we take out of that picture Joshua, who was sent to fight against the armies of the Amalekites, if we take him out of the picture, how would things have turned out? He was very important also, because God was using Joshua to fight the battle. He was the general of the army out in the front of the battle, and he was doing his job. He was doing what God wanted him to do, what God had chosen him to do. But let's just say we take Aaron out of the picture. Well, Aaron was the high priest. And Aaron was there. I'm not sure why he was there with Moses on the mount up there on the hill. I'm not sure that he was there. Maybe they wanted to see what was going on. Maybe from that point they could view down below and see the battle and the armies fighting. And maybe her, the same thing. Maybe he was there to see what was going on. Maybe they were there so they could pray for what was going to happen. But nonetheless, as Aaron was there, maybe he began to see that Moses was getting tired. Kind of interesting. Aaron was older than Moses. and so Moses was getting tired and his hands were lowering down. And maybe Aaron walked over and put his hand underneath Moses' elbow and held it up. And as they began to see below that Israel's armies were attacking better and were making ground and they were winning, and maybe Aaron himself got tired and pulled his hand away, and Moses' hand went down and the rod of God went down, and then he began to realize, wow, I lift up his arm, his hand, and Israel's winning. I take my hand away and Moses is tired, and the enemies are winning. And I believe that the same token, Hur was there and he was seeing the same thing, and these two men got involved holding up Moses' arms. And were those two men important? Did they have the sword in their hand? No. Did they have the rod of God in their hand? No. But they were important nonetheless, because without them, Israel would have lost. Israel would have lost. And when we think about this situation that here in the Word of God, what is presented here, Moses did not do everything himself. He was not by himself. He had good men that went with him to help him. If we think about Blessed Hope Baptist Church and Pastor Jerry and the work that's being done here, well, without a doubt, his dad having started this church and all the work and the labor and the prayers and everything that was done, and Pastor Jerry stepping in and now he's the pastor, but just Pastor Jerry by himself? Definitely not. This is a church, this is a group of people, a group of believers, and here together to serve God and to learn and to follow Him. And each and every person is important, because one man cannot do everything, so therefore the help of everybody else is important. The soul winning, the nursery. If you can imagine the little rascals here in the church service. Every once in a while in Mexico, I make a bad decision. No, every once in a while, many once in a whiles. But every once in a while, I'll say, well, there's only one little one. What happened today? They didn't come. Only one little one. We'll just leave them in the main service. It'll be okay. We'll be able to handle it. And that one child will cry, will whine, will get up and walk around. And everything you can imagine, you say, one, well, how could the devil's always doing something. The ladies in the nursery, I mean, everything is so very important. Amen. The bus ministry. Amen. The people that yesterday were out knocking on doors and visiting people, and this morning up early and bringing people in. Everything is important. Teaching classes. The work of God is not by one person. It's not by two or three or five or ten. But He's got a spot for each and every one of us. And when I think about that, how God has blessed here, and there's no doubt that God has blessed here. And when I think about Pastor Jerry, and when he was at college and caring for the different people that came to church with him on the buses, and Lydia, my wife, being one of those people, and there's countless others, and the work that was done there, and you know, that's what God wants us all to do. We can touch so many lives of different people. Maybe it's the people at work, maybe it's our neighbors, maybe it's people we come in contact with, and there's so much that we can do if we just get involved. God is never looking for perfect people, because there aren't any perfect people. We're all marred. We have sins. We don't do everything how He wants it done. But God still wants to use us. And the person that says, here am I. I'm here. What do you want, Lord? I'll do it. And God will use us in that area. He'll use us for His work and His will and His way. Moses was not there doing what he wanted. If I remember right, God said to Moses, you're going to lead my people out of Egypt. You're going to speak to Pharaoh, and you're going to tell him my plan, that all of Israel is going to leave Egypt. And what did Moses say? I'm slow of tongue. I'm of slow speech. Maybe he was stuttering. Maybe he was nervous at that point in time. Maybe he was okay in other times that he didn't have a problem with talking. But he did not want to do that. Moses was not doing what he wanted. He was doing what God wanted. Pastor Jerry preaching God's word, leading the church, the deacons helping, the ladies and the men, different people teaching the classes, working in the nursery, working on the buses, praying. You know, that's one area that's so very interesting. I'm sure that Aaron and Hur and Moses also, on the Mount of God, they were looking down below at the battle that was going on. And as they were seeing what was going on and they were praying, I'm sure they were praying. How could it be that these three men, as spiritual as they were, and they were men that were following God and doing His will, as they looked at the battle and they're saying, Lord, please, put your hand there. Help our armies. This enemy is terrible. They've killed many of our people. They've done us damage. Lord, please help them. Please do your will and your way. And they were praying there. And so many times, we as Christians, praying is not what we do best. It's easy to talk. It's easy to gossip. It's easier even yet to complain, right? Oh, it's so cold this morning. Oh, it's so hot. Oh, it's raining again. Oh, and whatever it is, we'll find something to complain about. But I don't think these men were up there complaining. These men were praying and asking for God's hand to be involved. And when God's hand is involved, something happens. Something happens. I think about this passage in the area of missions. We've been in Mexico since 1998. Directly and indirectly, there are five different churches, two of them which we started personally, five different churches with our men there pastoring people, and that's a blessing. But it's not us. Who are we? The Bible says that without me, you can do nothing. We have nothing. We can do nothing. But when we get Him involved and we pray to Him and we ask Him for help and we follow His leading hand, something happens. God gets involved because He's the one that wants people to be saved. He's the one that wants people's lives to be changed and for us to be different and conform to the image of His Son. There's no doubt about that. But what I think is lacking most is us getting involved. How many people that God would want to be involved in some area doing something, and yet, here am I, is not what is said. But I have to do this. I can't speak well, Lord. I don't have the ability. I remember when I was in grade school, I don't remember if it was third grade or fourth grade. It seems like I can't remember much more than 2 weeks behind. 2 weeks past, I can't remember. But I remember having to give an oral report in school. I mean, why did they do that? They were punishing me, you know? So shy and embarrassed and in front of a bunch of other children my age and having to say something about who knows what it was. Some report the teacher says, you're going to talk about this. And then they give you a week or 2 weeks to prepare for it, and you don't even have any idea how to talk or what to say. And boy, I was afraid. I was terrified. I wasn't saved. We didn't even go to church. I was Catholic, and it was like God, I don't want to go up there. Make it so there's no more time left. And to think that this morning I'm behind this pulpit, trying to do what God wants, His will, in front of many more people than that day in school, trying to give an oral report or whatever you call it. And God is able. God is able. God takes that which is weak and He uses to show His strength. The Bible speaks about that in 1 Corinthians. But many times, instead of us saying, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. And I'm not necessarily speaking about somebody saying, I'm going to be a missionary. I'm going to go to China, or I'm going to go to Russia, or I'm going to go here or there. You know, maybe that might be God's will for you, and that would be a blessing to surrender to that. But there's so many little things before that point would ever arrive, or where we would say, Lord, I'm going to help on the buses, or Lord, I'm going to help teaching a class, or Lord, I want to do this, or getting involved. And when we present ourselves and we get involved, we become like Joshua and Aaron and her. And what about the army? What about the army? I mean, this passage, we're seeing four different names of people we know in the Bible, people that were maybe larger, more well-known, maybe more spiritual, maybe leaders of the people. But what about the thousands that were down below fighting? Were they not important? They were important. You take one or two or five or 10 or 100 or 1,000 out, how would the battle have went? Would they have won? Every person is important, and every person has a place, and we've got to find that place on the mission field. I was speaking a little about that saying, holding the ropes. I have never thought about where it came from. So many times we have sayings that we use in English as well as in Spanish where it means something, we know what it means, but we don't know where it came from, how it started. I thought to myself, well, maybe it has to do with when they're lowering the boats off the side of the ship and the ship is sinking and the people are inside of the boats and they're lowering them by way of ropes or holding the ropes. If one let go of the rope, the boat's going to go down like that and the people are going to fall into the ocean. But I don't know that that's true. I couldn't find the meaning of the words out. But we use that so often, don't we? Holding the ropes. But it's true. If you think about the pictures that we saw on the DVD presentation, when I see the pictures, it makes me tear up. It makes me tremble. Those aren't just faces; they're people. They're individuals that are likewise as important as you and I. And there's so many more out there that they don't have the gospel and they don't know about Jesus and they need to be in church and they need to know. How can we do that? We're there. You could say as an extension of the church here. And you all, as part of that same scenario, many praying and remembering us before the Lord and asking the Lord to do something. Is that important? Extremely. Yes, sir. Extremely. I really don't know how to explain this whole situation, this whole point, except that each and every person has a part. Each and every person is important. What would God do if we all got involved? What would God do? What would happen, Pastor Jerry, if everybody in the church got involved with missions giving? What would happen? That would be an interesting situation, wouldn't it? Think of what, and I understand God is not limited by money, but if you think about the situation with tithes and offerings, God commands it. But God in the Bible even said to the Jewish people that he didn't need their animal sacrifices. It wasn't that he was hungry and he needed the blood and the meat and the sacrifices. What he wanted was their heart. And we all know that the thing that usually is closest to our heart is that which makes us comfortable. And what makes us comfortable? Well, I mean, we don't even have to answer the question. But God is not poor and God does not need us per se, but he has decided to do things in that area, and he wants us involved in the giving. He wants us involved in the giving here for the church, the tithes and the offerings and the missions giving. What could God do? What would God do if we were all involved? The soul winning. I've said this to the men and the people of the church in Zacatecas and also at Brother Jose's church in Jerez and in Fresnillo, the other church there, that I forgot what I was going to say. Has that ever happened to you, Pastor? So, yeah. I can't, I'm not even 50 years old yet and I forget everything. There are people that will not listen to me at all. I can knock on their door, or I can hand them a gospel tract on the street, or start a conversation with them, and the door is closed. But maybe somebody that comes to church that sits over there, or over there, or over there, they have an open door. And they'll listen to their words, but they don't speak. We don't speak. There's so much that God could do, so much more that God wants to do, and we just need to present ourselves to get involved, holding up Moses' hand, the missionaries' hands, and the praying, and the giving, and the knowing what's going on. Sometimes I feel very bad. I guess you can do the same thing here in the United States. If you forget Sister Smith's name, you just say, how are you doing today, sister? I'm sure we've all done that before, right? And you forget the pastor's name. That's terrible, right? And you say, "Good morning, pastor." It's so easy to do that, right? So very easy. What would God do if the people of Blessed Hope Baptist Church knew the names of their missionaries, knew what was going on in their ministries, and praying for what they're doing? Would their ministries not be extended? Would God not put his hand more in that situation and work? But so many times, we're like spectators. Moses in the middle. God called him. Rod of God in his hand. Aaron on the one side, Hur on the other side, holding up Moses' hand. Joshua, the general of the army, down below fighting. Each person in their place that God had ordained, had decided for them. The thousands in the army fighting and doing their job that God wanted them to do. But the Bible doesn't speak about those on the sidelines that were doing nothing. And I dare say there was probably more on the sidelines than were involved. What would God do if we all said, "Lord, what is it you want me to do? You want me to pray for the missionaries? I'm going to do it. Starting tomorrow, I'm going to do it. Lord, you want me to give towards missions? I'm going to start, Lord. I'm going to do it. Lord, you want me to work on the buses? You want me to work in the Sunday school? You want me to work in the classes? You want me to work in the nursery? You want me to, Lord, whatever it is, you just tell me and I'll do it. I want to be part of that group, helping the pastor, helping the missionary, helping the work of God. Because God, I want to see your hand move. I want to see something happen." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for these people, Lord, for this church, for Pastor Jerry. We thank you for all that's been done. But Lord, we want to thank you ahead of time for what you're going to do and how you're going to bless us, Lord, and how you're going to use us, Lord. Just help us, give us strength and wisdom, and help us to take that next step forward, Lord, that next step, Lord, whatever it may be. Please, we pray and ask that you bless also the service that's going to be in a couple of minutes. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name.